And I'm going to have you turn, first of all, to Isaiah chapter number 5. You'll notice you got a handout there in your prayer list for tonight. Kind of help us speed things along here. Basically, the passages that we're dealing with, I'm not going to have you turn to them. I've got them right there on your copy. Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. In Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Our nation turns 243 years old tomorrow. Wow. I can remember when the bicentennial took place and decorating my room with the red, white, and blue. I had the curtains. I had the bedspread. I had it all. That just don't seem that long ago, but it was 43 years ago, and that was before my wife and I got together, and we've been together 40 years. So anyway, Psalm 33:12 there does not say that every person in the nation has to be converted in order to be blessed of God. It says the nation is blessed whose God is the Lord. God used to be the Lord of our nation. And we were blessed when he was. Proverbs 14:34 does not say that a majority of the nation must be born again Christians. It says that righteousness exalts a nation. That word righteousness there means to be right in a moral sense. In other words, it means to follow the moral laws of God. And our nation was formed under the moral laws of God. I mean, even though not everybody acknowledged God, may not have acknowledged God or the Bible, but nevertheless, it was used to form the laws of our land. And I love this nation we live in, but its glory may be waning some, but it's still known worldwide as one of the greatest nations on earth, and I wouldn't want to live anywhere else, I can tell you that. I thank God for being born here and being raised here and the freedoms that we enjoy, we need not take them for granted because they could be gone. If the Democrats have their way, they will be gone. And every time you hear a Democrat talk about wanting to restore our democracy, you ought to say, liar, liar, we've never been a democracy. And we're a republic. There's a big difference between a republic and a democracy. There's no democracy to restore. If they make us democracy, they will undo our being a republic. And that is very important. If they get it to be a democracy, then you can kick the Electoral College out the door. They won't go by that anymore. They'll go by popular vote. That's what they're wanting to do. Let's look at a few things here tonight. What made America great to begin with? Well, it was righteousness. Biblically speaking, righteousness exalteth the nation. And to say that our nation was not founded upon biblical principles is to ignore recorded history. We had an opportunity when our daughter was graduating from high school. It was like 1 month before 9/11 took place. We were in Washington, D.C. and had an opportunity to see all the monuments with all the scripture and how they talked of God and talked of righteousness and talked of things quite frankly, people would like to wipe it out right now. And they're trying to. Sadly, history is being more than ignored. History is being changed and it's being rewritten. And even in the past 2 years, we've seen some of it torn down, haven't we? I mean, you know, they're tearing down the monuments that were there that are part of our culture. It's what we were, where we came from. And they're tearing those things down. There are even attempts being made to wipe out the name of God from our foundations. I wouldn't be surprised that if the Democrats get in control, that they don't sandblast everywhere God is on those monuments, just sandblast it off. They want God gone. They don't want God in their knowledge. Psalm 11 verse 3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We know that truly America is a nation that's been blessed by God. I'm not going to get into a bunch of quotes tonight. You've heard them before, and you can, if you want some of them, I can give you a ton of them from not just one person, but many leaders in the early on of how what they had to say about God, what they had to say about the Bible, what they had to say about what would make this nation great and what would cause this nation to fall. And then, you know, they would tell you, you know, you get away from God, get away from the Bible, and you can just, we're going to fall. We need to stick close to the Lord. So what made America great was righteousness. What's bringing reproach to America is sin. The other part of that verse says, but sin is a reproach to any people. To any people. Sin's not good for anybody, is it? It's not. The Lord pronounced some woes here. And Isaiah, I ask you to turn to Isaiah 5, look at verse 20 through 22. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, and that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter. Is that not what we're seeing? We are seeing that before our very eyes in our land. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Oh, we don't need the Bible to direct us. We don't need some preacher telling us what to do. We're wise. We're the most educated generation there ever was. You know, they'll talk about how enlightened they are. You know, they're not enlightened. They're in darkness because they don't know the Lord. Verse 22, woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink. And we know how alcohol and drugs have plagued our land and more and more. So as we go along, our nation has increasingly lost its spiritual compass and reversed the biblical values that it was founded upon. And we know the Word of God, which was once uplifted as what it is. It's absolute truth. The Bible is the absolute truth of God. And it used to be revered as that. But now, it's ridiculed, it's denied, as well as even forbidden in some places. While God clearly says in Exodus 20 and verse number 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me, other gods are now being put on the same plane as the one true God of the Bible. You know? They do that in the name of being tolerant and multicultural. You know? So, there is but one God. Yeah? And He is the Lord. Many in our society, as well as many in high places of our government now, not only endorse perversion, but they also promote the advancement of it. We know it's true. We've seen it and continue to see it before our eyes. It's played out in the news. Just what they went through the last month. You know, the last month that they tried to make it a wicked month. Got to thinking, you know, they perverted the family during the month that we celebrate Father's Day. How sad is that? You know? To listen to politician sound bites, you would think that family values are lifted high as important by the politicians. But the problem is they have redefined the family to include many immoral and God-debasing relationships. They're not about family values. Not biblical, godly family values. That's not what they're about. What they're about, in Romans 1:24, God calls it uncleanness, which means impurity, and says that they dishonor their bodies between themselves. Romans 1:26 says that these change the natural use into that which is against nature. And Romans 1:27 says that they are working that which is unseemly. We know that our government has increasingly rewarded laziness with welfare, food stamps, and other government giveaways, while it overtaxes those who work hard to pay for all that. Yeah, and that's not right. Millions of unborn children have been murdered and continue to be murdered in our land in the name of a woman's right to choose. And that's the very picture of what Paul said in the book of Romans 1:31, those that would be without natural affection. Without natural affection. A woman ought to have a natural affection for children, her children. You know? Not to want to kill them. And they want to kill them. And now it's not just in the womb. I mean, some of these states are passing laws where they can be killed even after they're out of the womb now. It's crazy. It's craziness is what it is. Many in our nation have turned their back on the Lord who made our nation the great nation that it is. But thank God that, you know, there are still some who stand for righteousness. We live in a nation that for the most part does not value life. It does not value biblical morality and does not value God's definition of a family. And the things that are now valued in our land are self-gratification. You know, if it feels good, that's what we're going to do. We're going to do what pleases us. Self-fulfillment and self-realization, no matter what it takes or who gets hurt in the matter. You know, it's all about self. And you can call it self-absorption. No thought of how our actions affect others. It's I, me, my mind, us four, and no more. So what can God's people do? Well, we know the answer, and that's found in 2 Chronicles 7 and verse number 14. And, you know, it's kind of right in a row, really. You could say, well, we diverted away from our 1 Kings study. Well, we didn't divert away from really where we're at, because the temple, we just built the temple. Well, what happened after the building of the temple? Well, what we see there when Solomon prayed, made an end of praying, he was praying and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. He got the feast of the dedication here. And that's where you have here in 2 Chronicles. I know it's not recorded there in 1 Kings, but here this is the same time period here, right after the building of the temple. And the Lord appeared to Solomon there in verse number 12 says, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. He said, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. So, you know, it's really simple. You know, I didn't come up with it. God's the one that came up with it. 1 Peter 4, 17-18 says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Folks, we need to humble ourselves and admit to God that we're part of the problem. Amen. Humble ourselves and look, do some introspection. Look at where we are at individually. Oh, it's easy to point fingers and say, well, the problem is them out there. The problem is up in Washington. The problem is, well, you know, part of the problem is with us too. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. We need to humble ourselves and need to pray. And I'm not going to take time tonight for sake of time, but I encourage you to read through the prayers of Daniel and Nehemiah. There, I've given you the references there. They prayed prayers of confession and forgiveness for their land, and some great prayers there. I brought messages in the past on I believe on both of those passages. I know I did on Daniel 9, and there's some great praying that went on. And then pray for God to search us. That's Psalm 139, 23, and 24. We sing a song called Cleanse Me that has those words. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Ask God to search you. Pray for God to use us as a part of the solution. And you know, if you're not a part of the solution, you're part of the problem. I mean, it's just plain and simple. One or the other. If you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. Pray for our country and its leaders. We know we're commanded to pray. And 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse 1 through 3, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. Pray for our country and its leaders. Seek God's face. Not only humble ourselves and pray, but seek God's face. What does that entail? What does God think about what we're doing? You know? What is God's perspective? Are you looking to Him? It is the matter of trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not in thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy paths. It's like a child of a young man out on the ball field. We used to see it all the time with our son when he played baseball growing up. He'd look over on the sidelines and see what mom and daddy thought about what he's doing out there on the ball field. He was seeking our face. And we need to seek the Lord's face, you know, about what we're doing. And then turn from our wicked ways. You know, it's going to take some genuine repentance. Repentance is a change of heart that leads to a change of action, but that's what it's going to take. If righteousness exalts and sin is a reproach, it's time to repent of our sin and return to righteousness. You know, when we humble ourselves and pray, God hears and answers. And that is true whether the prayer is for one's salvation, salvation of one's soul, or whether the plea is for God to deliver our nation. And one of the most patriotic things that we can do in celebration of Independence Day tomorrow is to pray for our nation. Amen? Pray for our nation. We need to remember that America is a nation that was born of God and has been blessed by God. And we need to resolve in our hearts to be of those who will pledge our obedience to and trust in God. And we need to let the sin and shameful practices of our society bring us remorse. I mean, we ought to be weeping for our nation. Bring remorse to our hearts and tears to our eyes. We must kneel and pray for the salvation of our nation and then go out and share the gospel. How will God save America? Well, you're going to do it by saving its citizens. And we'll be a Christian nation. I don't think really there is such a thing as a Christian nation, but we'll be more so when a majority have truly been born again. Right now, there's not even a majority that claim to be born again anymore. The Bible divides all of humanity into two categories, the saved and the lost. And we know the lost will perish and their sins be punished for all eternity. Yet God's not willing that any should perish. He would have all men to be saved, come into the knowledge of truth. And that's why He sent His only begotten Son into this world to pay for man's sin. And He offers eternal life as a free gift. But folks have to hear the gospel and receive it in order for that to take place. Amen. All right. That's what I want to look at tonight. Let's pull out our prayer list, pray for the needs, and we'll be dismissed tonight. Trust that you'll have a safe holiday.